It can destroy an entire society, and it can destroy an individual life. Gossip. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Words mean things. Words, or that, let's call it what it is, gossip, is often the means by which the church is infected with sickness. And some may say, well, I haven't said anything to anyone. I thought some things, but I haven't said anything. Well, you know what? The Bible says, David said, that God desires truth in the inward parts of our heart. Psalm 51, verse 6. He desires, not what I desire, but he desires truth within the inward parts of my life. And that's why God's always working on us. It's not the outside, it's the inside that he's working on the most.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
We're delighted to be with you again today. This is The Dwelling Place, the radio ministry of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. As we begin today, I want to invite you to join us online after the message at cwccs.org. Pastor Al Pittman is leading a study of Romans right now, and today he underscores chapter 12 and verses 3 through 9. Getting along with each other is what this section of Romans is all about. Paul felt fellowship and love was so important that he included it in several of his letters. The body of Christ should be a body of love and respect. Here's Al with today's study, beginning with some good words of wisdom from the Epistle of James, chapter 3.
For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. But sobriety within the church comes from the wisdom of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. And here's the one that always gets stuck in my throat. Willing to yield. Amen. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without, say it,
hypocrisy.
Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Sober believers make peace. Sober believers are willing to yield. Sober believers are under the influence of the Word of God. What influence are you under today? Be under the influence of God's Word if you want to make peace in your marriage. Be under the influence of God's Word if you want to make peace in your relationships one with another. Only then can the best interest of the body of Christ and others be served. And that's what Paul speaks about here in verses 4 to 8. But then he moves on and he says this in verse 9. And our second point is this. In order to have a healthy body, we have to have spiritual sobriety, absence of pride, submitted under the authority of God's word. But in order to have a healthy body as well, we have to have love without hypocrisy. And that's what he says in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. And then he gets into some of the attributes again of a healthy body of Christ. We'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. But the word hypocrisy can also be translated dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, dissimulation means one who dissembles, hiding under a false appearance. Proverbs 26, verses 24 to 26 says that he who hates disguises it with his lips. Love your brother. I can't stand that guy. And I tell you, you know what? I don't appreciate that. People who would say, come to me and tell me about another brother or sister in Christ, that I just don't like them. Don't come to Pastor Al and say things like that. I know certain people rub you wrong, and no one's done that to me lately. But I'm just kind of warning you, because I'm getting older now, and I don't really care what I say so much, You might catch me on a bad day, and I might just whoop upside your head and just with my tongue and just rebuke you, and you go, my God, where's the love, you know? Because nothing offends me more than a loveless church. Not because it's me, but because it offends the Lord. And he's saying here, listen, You know, that disguising, you know, your hatred with your lips. You know, praise the Lord, you know. And when we've got hatred stirring up within us, I know we all struggle with it. Doesn't make it right. It must be repented of. Because notice Proverbs goes on to say, when he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. The reason why is because God's not going to let that stuff go on. He's going to show people who you really are. If you can continue and persist to walk around with that hatred, think you got everybody fooled, it'll come out eventually. If we are not loving one another with Christ's love, that is with agape love, we will soon be engaged in the dismantling of the body of Christ. How? By mixing the love of God with hypocrisy. A church can't stay together that way. In order to have love without hypocrisy, we must put off the old man through repentance, and we must put on Christ. See, in order to put Christ on, you got to take something off. We've had to have to take off the old and put on Christ. And I know that we have to do that several times in a day. Definitely have to do it in the morning or whatever, but that's how we get rid of this love with hypocrisy. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11 talks about that. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, Paul writes, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, let's go down the list here, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. All of these have to do with the heart. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, that is Jesus, who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, it's all about Jesus. When I've got the old man on, it's all about me. But when I have the new man on, it's all about Jesus. You see, folks, one of the phrases that he uses there is that filthy language out of your mouth. You know, words mean things. Words, or that, let's call it what it is, gossip, is often the means by which the church is infected with sickness. And some may say, well, I haven't said anything to anyone. I thought some things, but I haven't said anything. Well, you know what? The Bible says, David said, that God desires truth in the inward parts of our heart. Psalm 51, verse 6. He desires, not what I desire, but he desires truth within the inward parts of my life. And that's why God's always working on us. It's not the outside, it's the inside that he's working on the most. And so the word, that phrase there, filthy language out of your mouth, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, it implies not only what is spoken, but also what we think in regards to others according to our own carnal human reasoning. Be careful, because divisions and offenses, contentions within the church, always begin in the mind, that is, in our hearts, in the inward place. That's why God says, I desire truth to reign there, so that when that lie comes in about that person, that you won't entertain that. You'll kick that right out, because you walk in truth and not according to your own carnal human reasoning. And then there again, that's why the Bible says in Philippians 4:8 that finally, brethren, Paul writes, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If it's not praiseworthy and you're thinking about somebody and it's not a praiseworthy thought, then it's not from God. Now, that's tough. I know it. It's tough to do because we love to relish and to think about, yeah, I know that person, yeah. Yeah, I heard. You know, we love to do that. Oh, gossip is like a tasty morsel, Proverbs says. Give me something. I'll take an extra helping of that. Yeah, they're an idiot. That guy's a jerk. I hate his guts. Oh, this is so good. If it's not praiseworthy, don't meditate on it, because it will start an inward infection in your heart, your mind, and you may be speaking the right words, but if your heart is wrong, Proverbs also says, fervent lips, when you have an angry heart or just sin, is like an earthen vessel covered with silver dross. Silver dross. It's not pure silver. It's silver dross. It looks good. It looks rich, but it's not true. It's an earthen vessel underneath all the deceitful words you're speaking. See, God wants to get at the heart of the church. That's how the church becomes healthy, as he deals with our hearts. He deals with us inwardly. And this type of love, folks, requires fervent love, not fake love. 1 Peter 4, 8 says, and above all things, above a new building, above programs, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. The Greek word for fervent is ektens. It means without ceasing. Sounds like our word intense. Without ceasing. What does that mean? That means despite offenses and disagreements, our love for one another is still constant. Listen, if you're looking for the perfect church and where there's no offenses or disagreements, you're in the wrong place. Eventually, someone's going to offend you. Someone probably offended you this morning. They're sitting in your seat. That's always your seat. And you walk by them. They know I always sit there. Or you're driving into the parking lot, you know, and you see a parking space, you get ready to pull in, and some believer cuts you off and pulls in there before you, you know. Oh, that must be the park place reserved for sinners. You know, Pastor Al, that, you know, all you heathens park here, you know. We get offended by something that someone does to us or says to us. This is not the perfect church. And you surely haven't found the perfect pastor.
If we're seeking perfection in others or ourselves, we're going to be disappointed. Part 2 of Pastor Al's message is coming right up. But first, I want to thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. And we would ask you to pray for this radio ministry as we seek to reach the world with the gospel. And to do that, we could use your help. Would you pray about partnering with us financially? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363. Or visit our website at cwccs.org. And we have a brand new address to share with you for Pastor Al's podcast. It's anchor.fm/cwccs-podcast. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. So the truth is, Christians have disagreements with one another. Is that a bad thing? Not as long as it doesn't affect our walk with the Lord. Here's Pastor Al with part 2 of today's message in Romans 12.
But offense will come. But even when offenses and disagreements come, there's a commitment to love. Sounds a lot like marriage. Amen. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. How many had a wonderful honeymoon that went the way they thought it would go? The way you always fantasized in your mind before you got married. Honey, I think our first real fight was on our honeymoon, wasn't it? Yeah. Things don't always work out right. But there was a commitment, despite all the bumps and bruises and ups and downs, to love each other. So it is in the church. The difference between fervent love and fake love is one does not cease and the other is conditional. The love that we ought to have for each other, if we love each other with agape love, is not conditional love. It's a love that continues because it's a love that's rooted in Christ's love for us. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, he said that it is impossible, listen, church, it is impossible that offenses will not come. Why? Because you got two people who are made of flesh in the same room. You put two of us in the same room for over a period of time, we'll be arguing about something. Because we've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. We're all carnal beings. We all desperately need a Savior. And you get a bunch of people together, there's going to be an opportunity for offense and disagreement. But in Christ, in a healthy church of believers, there's a commitment to continue to love. Because love really does conquer all. Jesus said that it's impossible for offense to come. He said, but by faith, offenses can be healed. Check me out. Read, I think it's Luke 17, verse 1 and following. But look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. I want to show you here five evidences of love abiding without hypocrisy. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 17. Five evidences of love abiding without hypocrisy. What does it look like? This is what it looks like. In verse 12, Paul writes, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. How do we forgive each other? Well, we use tender mercies and kindness and humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. We forgive each other. But how do we forgive each other? What's the standard? As Jesus forgave you. How did he forgive you? Was it not unconditionally, freely, without conditions? He says, now forgive one another the same way. Wow. So forgiveness, when it's a healthy church body, and when we love each other without hypocrisy, we're willing to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Here's the second thing. There also exists within such a church a perfect bond, and that perfect bond is love. Verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. Oh, we're not a perfect church. No way, far from it. But we have a bond of perfection amongst us. And that is the love of Jesus, the bond of perfection. Another word for bond is control. In other words, we are controlled by the love of God. Not by our envy or our self-seeking. We're controlled by love. You show me a church controlled by the board, or controlled by the pastor, or controlled by some schism or whatever. I'll show you a church on the brink of disaster. But show me a fellowship controlled by the love of God. I'll show you one that'll be around 20 years from now. The bond of perfection. And then peace. Where love is without hypocrisy, there is peace. Verse 15, the first part, he says, and let peace, the peace of God, rule in your hearts. Now, I love that one because he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, as if you have a choice. Did you know you had a choice to let the peace of God rule in your heart, or to let anger and bitterness rule in your heart? Let the peace of God rule. In other words, you don't have to be mad this morning or angry this morning. Let peace rule in your heart. Let it. Will you open the door right now? Will you drop all that old man stuff and let the new man reign? Will you let peace in and let it rule over your spirit? We have a choice. You don't have to stay mad. You don't. I don't. No, you don't. Let it rule. It takes humility. We don't have to stay angry. Where the love of God abides without hypocrisy, we don't mind peace ruling. Here's the fourth thing, humility. Humility. There's humility where the peace or the love of God abides without hypocrisy. Verse 16, the first part, he says, let the word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In other words, submit to the correction of the word of God. Submitting to the correction of the word of God. And lastly, there is thanksgiving. There's thanksgiving where there's the love of God without hypocrisy. Verse 17, he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I think there are five examples of what love without hypocrisy looks like within the body of Christ. There is forgiveness. There is the perfect bond of love. There is peace. There's humility. There's thanksgiving, abounding one unto another. In other words, we're seeking the glory of Christ and not our own in such a fellowship. Love without hypocrisy, without self-seeking, without envy, can heal all wounds, folks. Don't believe the enemy who's telling you that it cannot. It's like the story of Jim and Bernadette Tobin. You probably have heard this story featured on the Today Show, I believe, and some time ago. But the story goes this way. It says that they were a typical American couple. They got married, raised two daughters, and then finding themselves squabbling over money and other issues, had a typical American divorce. Then Jim Tobin fell desperately ill with kidney disease that only a transplant could cure. His ex-wife, Bernadette Tobin, asked to be tested and found she was a perfect match. And so she gave him her kidney, and he gave her back his heart. Thanks to that gift of life, the couple who had fallen out of love fell back in again. And on Sunday, this is some time ago, they married each other again in their whole Massachusetts home, 17 years after their divorce and 10 years after the kidney transplant that saved Jim Tobin's life. Why do I share that story? Because it's like the kidney that Bernadette provided for her ex-husband. So is fervent love to the body of Christ if we're willing to give it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that the church is built up by the love that what we provide one unto another for the healing of the body. If we will love each other with that fervent love, hey, healing and restoration will happen within the church. Hey, within your marriage, within our relationships, and healing will flow. It will bring healing to that which is dying within our relationships. The question for you need to answer today is, have I been living in the sobriety of faith? And secondly, is my love fervent or is it fake? The solution is simple. Paul gave it to us in Colossians chapter 3. Don't put Christ off any longer. Put him on. Put him on through repentance, that his blood might flow freely through the body, his church, healing our anemic carnal deficiencies to the glory of God.
You've been listening to The Dwelling Place with our Bible teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, the pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. As we close things out today, we want to remind you that you can hear today's message at our website, cwccs.org. We can also supply you with a CD copy when you call 844-221-3363. That's 844-221-3363. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the enable button. Now you say, Alexa, ask OnePlace to play The Dwelling Place. Or on Google Home devices, say, Hey Google, ask OnePlace to play The Dwelling Place. At The Dwelling Place, we pray that your walk with Jesus Christ has been strengthened by these messages. And we're grateful to those who choose to partner with us to see this ministry continue and even expand. To make a secure donation, drop by cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write to us at Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, visit us at Calvary Worship Center. We'd love to welcome you this weekend. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website. And we hope to see you soon. This has been The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a presentation of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.